Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, and again Chodesh. Not only is it Erev Shabbos, but it's also Chodesh Tov to all. Today the sun has not set yet, so it is still Aleph Tammuz. It is the second day of Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, which corresponds to the first of Tammuz. It should be a Chodesh of Geula, a Me'afela, the Ora, for all of Kal Yisrael, and our Yemei Avelos and Yemei Churban should be turned into Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, and Binyan and Geula Be'ezrat Hashem. So Chodesh Tov to all. We have a very special sponsorship tonight. So tonight's sponsorship is Mary Orbach. Mary is sponsoring in honor of her dear friend Miriam Goodman, who Miriam looks so pretty in honor of the birthday sponsorship. Look how beautiful you look. It is honor of Miriam Goodman because it is her birthday this week. And I said, why would you like me to announce? She said, thank you for everything. She is always the one to take care of things. She is so special. It's a schus to be her friend. So I am asking with this. I wish you a very happy birthday. For all those who do not know, Miriam Goodman is our Shir founder, organizer, and the most dedicated person to ensuring that the Shir continues with tremendous Yalta Deshmaya. So we wish you, Miriam, a very, very happy birthday. You should always be Osek in Sarachit Tzibur Be'amuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yushalim Scharam. And we thank your dear friend, Mary Urbach, for sponsoring tonight in honor of your birthday. We should always have sponsorship for Smachot, Besoros Tovos, and friendship. Okay, so let us get right into our learning, please. I made the Shahalko before. Let's go right into our learning. So it's Parshas Korach and Chutzart. So it's not such a kasha which Mishnah we should do. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing my handout that I prepared right here. Okay, could you see it says at the top Pirkei Avos Parshas Korach 5782. Hello? Yes? No? Maybe? Yes? Yes, okay. Okay, so at the top of the screen, I have the Mishnah. I'm just moving the screen over so you can see. Yes, you can. Thank you very much. Okay, so the Mishnah tells us, as you see at the top of my screen, any machulkas that is for the sake of heaven, in the end, it will endure. And if it is not for the sake of heaven, in the end, it will not endure. What is a machulkas, a classic example of a machlokas that is for the sake of heaven? So machlokas Hillel v'Shammai. This is the machlokas of Hillel and Shammai, which continued with their students Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. V'she'enu l'shem Shammai, a machlokas that is not for the sake of heaven. Excuse me. So machlokas Korach v'kol Adaso. This is the machlokas, the quarrel and strife of Korach and his entire assembly. So what is the Mishnah referring to? So the Mishnah is referring to this week's parsha in Chutzart, is parsha's Korach, and in Perek Tes Zayin through Perek Yud Zayin, we have the narrative of the Machlokas of Korach, the rebellion of Korach and his cohort. So let's just have a brief history so we know what we're talking about before we go to the commentators on the Mishnah. Korach was a first cousin to Moshe. Let's just understand the family tree. Levi was born in Perachof Tes, Pasuk Lamed He of Sefer Bereishis. Levi was born. Leah conceived again. She gave birth to a son. She said, "Ata pamilave ishi alai elai ki ladito lo shlosha banim al kain karashimo Levi." He is Levi. He is born. Levi has three sons: Gershon, Kahash, and Merari. Kahash has four sons: Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel. Amram, of course, is Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. The next son is Yitzhar. He has Korach, then there is Chevron, then there is Uziel, who has Elitzaphon. Korach claims that he is jealous. So Korach and Moshe and Aaron are first cousins. They all come from the tribe of Levi. They all come from the family of Kahash. Moshe's father is Amram. Korach's father is Yitzhar, the younger brother of Amram. So Korach says that he is jealous. He says, "I'm just the Levi. Moshe is the Melech. Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. Never mind all of that. But the youngest uncle, Uziel, his son, Elitzaphon, was just appointed the Nasi over the family of Kahash. If anyone should get the next position of importance after my cousins Moshe and Aaron, it should be me, because I'm from the next uncle. I'm from the second brother. How can Moshe skip over me to go to the youngest uncle and give my younger cousin, Elitzaphon, Gedula? What about me?" This is really just an excuse. Nothing was good enough for Korach. The mitzvah of tzitzis and tcheis isn't good enough for Korach. The mitzvah of mezuzah with the house of Sifrei Torah isn't good enough for Korach. Medrash Tanchuma says he complained about the portions that the Kohanim took from the Korbanos. He complained about Moshe and Aaron. He complained about Elitzaphon and Ben Uziel. It's all an excuse. It's a facade for a person who wants to be Osek and Machlokas. They will always find something to fight about. When a person wants to instigate and fan the flames of machlokas, it's just an excuse. What they want is more and more fighting. And I'm going to show you a famous vart on the word machlokas that is not my own vart. I don't remember which sefer it's brought down. It's brought down in multiple sefarim. I'm going to put the word machlokas on the chat for you, so everyone could just follow the letters in Lashon HaKodesh. If you look on the chat, I wrote the word machlokas. Now we're talking about the letters machlokas, not in script Lashon HaKodesh, and not in Rashi Lashon HaKodesh, regular block letters Lashon HaKodesh. So you see the word machlokas itself, and this is just so beautiful because it reminds us that you learn something from every word, every letter, every nakuda, every shape of every letter in Lashon HaKodesh. So you start with a mem. The opening of the mem is actually teeny. If you look on the chat, if you want to see what I'm talking about, it's very easy. And for those listening online, so you envision in your head what a mem looks like. Again, not a script mem and not a Rashi mem, a regular block mem. There's a teeny opening between the 2 feet, the 2 points of the mem. Machlokas often starts very, very small. It's about some teeny tiny point. But if it continues, and people continue to increase the flames of quarrel and strife, the ches has a bigger opening. Now the machlokas is bigger. Now it's about something greater. The next letter is lamed. It's growing higher and higher. The next letter is kuf. It's pulling everyone down with it. Until finally you come to the tav, and it is standing firm on its own 2 feet. This is not my vart. It is a famous vart on the word machlokas, the letters of machlokas, and it shows you how a machlokas could start off so small. It could be the most insignificant, teeny tiny fashion that a person gets insulted over or takes umbrage about. And then ches, all of a sudden, wow, that opening's a little bit bigger because now you find more things to be upset about. Lamed, it's growing higher and higher. Kuf, it's taking everyone down with it, which is exactly what happened to Korach. Interesting that his name starts with a kuf, because ultimately what happened at the end of Perek Tet Zayin, the ground opened up its mouth, Tivla Osam. What happened? Korach was swallowed, and all his rechush was swallowed, and his family was swallowed. And Rashi says, look how terrible is machlokas. Even the nursing infants were swallowed up with the ground when it opened up and took Korach. Kuf, it takes everything down, like the leg of the kuf, and finally the letter tav, it's standing firm on its own 2 feet. Such is the power of machlokas. So Korach was saying he's insulted about Moshe Aaron. He's saying, jealous of Moshe Aaron. He's insulted that Eli Tzafan Ben Uziel was appointed Nasi of Kas, his youngest cousin from the youngest uncle. He's saying that mezuzah is a farce and Moshe must have made it up. He's saying that Techeus on Tzitzis Moshe made up. Lamaisa, he wants power for himself. And that's who Korach really, really was. And the Mishnah uses him as an example of what it means, a machlokas she'eino l'shem shamayim. It is totally not for the sake of heaven. So now let us go back to our handout and let us look at a number of what the Mefarshim have to say on this Mishnah. Could you see him back to my screen? Yeah? Okay, I hope so. 1 second. Paulus Bodak, yes? What did you say? Yeah, you're saying yes. Okay, so here we go. Okay, so Tosfos Yom Tov tells us, okay, now it's very important to point out, look, why is a machlokas l'shem shemayim? That is a machlokas of Hillel and Shammai. You have two different sides. You have side A and side B. Let's say Hillel side A and Shammai side B. You have two different sides. But when it comes to she'eino l'shem shemayim, there's only one side. Korach v'kol adasa. Wait a minute. What happened to the other side? Aren't there usually two sides in a quarrel? If you have two sides to an argument, then you have two different parties. When it comes to machlokas l'shem shemayim, you have two different parties. There's Hillel and there's Shammai. But interestingly, when you have the machlokas of Korach, it says Korach and his Ada. Korach and his assembly. That's all one side. So that's what the Tosfos Yom Tov points out to you. Excuse me. Lo his kir tzad sheni. Shehei Moshe Aaron. It does not even mention another side. We would think that the other side is Moshe Aaron. K'moshe zachar b'chaluka rishona. Shnei hatzadadim. By the first machlokas, Hillel and Shammai, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, it mentioned two sides. There's Hillel and there's Shammai. But this time, what happened to Moshe and Aaron? It's just saying machlokas korach v'chol adaso. Korach and his assembly. That's all one side. Lefisha b'kan einam shavim. Shemoshe v'aron kavanasam l'shamayim haisa. In this case, they don't have the same intention. Korach's intention is lo l'shem shemayim. Korach's intention is l'shem Korach himself. But when it comes to Moshe and Aaron, kavana sam l'shemayim haisa, their kavana was l'shem shemayim. So these two sides are not even equal. V'lo haisa bahem shum bechina shelo l'shem shemayim. When it comes to, there's no bechina even. Everybody was the bechina's chesed, the epitome of chesed, the essence of chesed. There's no chashash even that Moshe and Aaron are acting not in the realm of what is l'shem shemayim. And he says, I'm quoting from Medrash Shmuel. So the Medrash, as quoted by Tosfos Yom Tov, points out when Machlokas is lo Shem Shemaim, if there is one party that's the Shem Shemaim, like Moshe and Aaron, and the other party is Shelo Shem Shemaim, there's really, they're not even fighting against anyone. Moshe and Aaron weren't fighting against Korach, they're fighting for the honor of heaven, and Korach is fighting for the honor of Korach, and therefore he's really broiled in Machlokas with his own Ada. Because Korach, like every good politician, pretends to be concerned about the people. What Korach is really concerned about is Korach himself. Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows, and I found this so interesting. This next interpretation is extremely interesting. Rabbeinu Yonah says, what does it mean, so fali hiskayim? This is really interesting. Lomar. What the Mishnah says, any machlokas that is for the sake of heaven and the end will endure. What does that mean? Hakavana. What is the intention in this statement? What does it mean it will endure? Shelo olam yiskaimu b'machlokas. It will always remain, this machlokas. Still today, you could open up Meseches Ksubos and you could say, why does it say in Ksubos Yod Zayin Aleph, Ketzem Raktim Lifnei Akala? Well, what does Beis Shammai say? Kala Kamoshi. And what does Beis Hillel say? Kal Na Vechasuda. Okay, so you could open up the Gemara today and you could say, wow, it's almost 2,000 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and yet I could still talk about what Beis Hillel says and Beis Shammai says, oh, what do we do about Halakas Neiris, Masecha Shabbos, Chav Aleph Aleph, while Beis Shammai says, you start with 8, you go down to 1, Beis Hillel says, no, Ma'aliyah B'Kodesh Vein Maridin, you start with 1, you go up to 8, so Chanukah is an acronym for Ches Neiris, Valacha Kebeis Hillel, so we paskin like Beis Hillel, but the Mechokah still endures. Go into yeshivos today and see them arguing over Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, Shabbos 31a, Lamed Aleph Aleph. How does Hillel convert the person on one foot? And what is Shammai? How does he push him away against one foot? They have a machlokas of opinion. How can you convert someone on one foot? Or can you not convert someone on one foot? It still endures till today. It's unbelievable. Hakavanah shelo olam yiskaibu b'machlokas. It will always endure. V'hayom yichalku b'davar. Oh, v'hayom yichalku b'davar achar. Today they argue about one thing. L'machar b'davar acher. Tomorrow they're going to argue about another thing. Today we're arguing about how do we lech hanuklich. Tomorrow we're arguing about ketzer merakdim lifnei akala. The next day we're arguing about, what was the third example? If someone's sitting in a sukkah, Erevin, Yud Gema Amar Beis, Meseches Erevin, Yud Gema Amar Beis, if someone's sitting in a sukkah and this table's in the sukkah and his head is in the house, how much of him needs to be in the sukkah with the table to be considered sitting in the sukkah? So Beis Hillel says this way, Beis Shammai says that way, so Rabbeinu Yonah says this is so unbelievable. He's mamashing, the machlokas is going to be strengthened, and it sounds like two people are arguing. You would say it's such a terrible thing, but no, it's a guarantee that if it's l'shem shemaim, so fala yiskayim, shelo olam yiskayim bu b'machlokas. The Mishnah is telling you, gevaldik, this machlokas will always strengthen itself, it will always endure, v'hayom yichalku b'davar achad. So today you argue about how much of you needs to be in the sukkah to be considered that you're fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah. Tomorrow you're going to argue about, can you convert a person on one foot, or you have to push him away with a building too? It sounds like such a terrible thing. This is the bracha, machlokas shel Hashem Shemaim. Umachlokas yeh kayam v'nimshach. This machlokas will be established and continued between them. Kol yimei chayim. And you could say by Beis Hillel and Baal Shammai, not only was it in their days, it continued in their students. The Mishnah says Hillel v'Shammai. Okay? Those are the Tanaim, Hillel and Shammai. But it continues. There's more than 300 arguments in the Gemara between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. So it will continue, v'nimshach. It will kayam, it will be upheld, it will continue between them, kol yimei chayim, all the days of their lives. Velo, not only that, it's an schos farichos yamim, ala she'orech yamim, ushnos chayim, yosifu lahem. It's unbelievable, Rabbeinu Yonah. You would think it should be the exact opposite. Two people are arguing, God will say, stop arguing. It's so interesting. No, if it's a mechokesh l'shem shemayim, Hashem will give you continuity. He will ensure that the mechokesh will be upheld, and today you'll argue about one thing, and tomorrow you'll argue about something else, and the machlokas will be upheld, and it will continue between them all the days of their lives, and like we saw, will continue in their students after them. Velo od, not only that, what a play on words, what an unbelievable way of taking something that you would think is so negative, a machlokas, and showing how beautiful it is when it's the Shem Shemaim. Ela she'orech yamim, ushnos chayim yasifu lahem. God will give them a richus yamim, and a richus shanim. will be added. So they could continue to have machlokas. So you see how beautiful it is, Tashem, the mechamta shel Torah, when people are fighting the machlokas of Torah, when they are fighting the battle of Torah, and Beis Hillel says, I'm right, we go from 1 to 8. And Beis Shammai says, I'm right, we go from 8 to 1. And Beis Hillel says, I'm right, kal na vechasuda. And Beis Shammai says, I'm right, kal kamoshi. And Beis Hillel says, I'm right, you can convert the convert on one foot. What is hateful to your friend, do not do. What is hateful to you, do not to your friend. And Beis Shammai says, no, I'm right. I take the measuring tool and I push him away. And I tell him, I can't convert you. Hashem will give you a richos yamim v'shadim to continue fighting. It's so beautiful. V'she'en al Hashem shamayim ein sofal lehiskayim. When it comes to a machlokas that is not for the sake of heaven, and the example that the Gemara gives, of, that the Mishnah gives, is Korach, the man of this week's parasha. He was not fighting l'shem shamayim. He was fighting l'shem Korach atzmo. He was fighting l'shem kavod Korach. He was fighting for the shame of fame Korach. He wanted to be famous. He was rich already. I was going to say he wanted to be famous and rich, but he was very rich. He wanted to be famous, he wanted to be more rich, and he wanted power. This had nothing to do with what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted. Beis Shammai really felt that you start with 8 and you go down to 1. Beis Hillel mamish felt you start with 8, you go down to 1. They both, this is how they interpreted the Torah. It wasn't a battle against Hillel or Shammai. It was the interpretation of Torah. Korach is fighting against Moshe and Aaron. He wants to bring them down. Ultimately, Kuf, he brought himself down. Rak b'machokas harishon yasifu yitamu. Oh, Rabbeinu Yonah says something. When it's l'shem shemayim, Hashem will give you arichus yamin v'arichus shanim to keep fighting. It's not my own words. You see it on the screen. We read it. Such a beautiful pshat. Today Hashem will say, argue about this. Tomorrow Hashem will say, argue about that. But when it comes to she'en l'shem shemayim, and two people, Rachman and Lassan, are arguing, not for the sake of heaven, rak b'machokas harishon yisafu. Yitamu. By the first machlokas, it's going to put an end to it. It's not going to continue. There's not going to be other gevaldic things to argue about. What happened to Korach after this first machlokas? Where did he go? Down to the Sha'ol. Visham yamusu kemachlokas shel Korach. The first machlokas, the first point of argument, will become so embittered, and it's not l'shem shemayim, it will bring that person, or that unfortunately family, or that community all the way down, and there they will find their death, just like the machlokas of Korach. So if you want to know, what's his chus for arichos yamim ben arichos shamim, mamish, sha'orach yamim u'shnos chayim u'sifu laham, is how machlokas l'shem shemayim. The problem is, especially for us in our day and age, especially for us on our level, we are not the gedolei hadar, and it's very, very hard to say that we are truly objectively arguing a point l'shem shemayim, because it is very difficult for a person not to have their subjective reality clouding their sight. I'm going to say it's almost impossible to be a Pinchas who was totally a kanal l'shem shemayim. God rewarded Pinchas with the bris kuhunas olam and the bris yishalom, because Pinchas did not have subjective negias. It wasn't about Pinchas at all. It was about what Hashem wanted and Hashem's kavod and the chilul Hashem that was resulting from Zimri and Cosby. So you could see, you could say Pinchas also made machlokas. Pinchas made machlokas with the tribe of Shimon. What's he getting involved with the tribe of Shimon for? You should stay out of it. It wasn't about the tribe of Shimon. And it wasn't about the Midianese woman. It was about the fact that there was a chilul Hashem, there was a desecration of God's name. And Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai were each arguing for upholding God's name. What they felt was the emes la'amito of Torah. No wonder only when Korach goes down to the Sha'ol does he say, Moshe emes visorasu emes. That's finally when he learned what the emes was. Not that Korach was right. That it is Moshe fighting for the truth of Shamayim. So I thought this was a gevaldic and very interesting Rabbeinu Yonah. When two people or two sides are arguing, mamash l'shem shemayim, again, on our level, it's almost impossible. Today you'll argue about this. Hashem will give you so much arichos yamim mishanim. Tomorrow you'll argue about something else. You'll argue about something else. The mechokus will be kayam. It will be healthy. It will be like a beautiful plant that keeps sprouting flowers. And it will continue between them forever. And like we saw, will continue in their children. So that's Rabbeinu Yonah, or their students, you could say. And then the Tosos Yom Tov, we also learned something important. Tosos Yom Tov, I'm just reviewing, okay? Tosos Yom Tov, then we're going to go to the Bar Tanur. The Tosos Yom Tov teaches us. Tosos Yom Tov teaches us that in a Mechogash L'Shem Shemayim, there are two parties. Hillel says this, Shammai says this. When it comes to Mechogash L'Shem Shemayim, there's no two parties. It's just Korach and his Eidah. That's one side. That's because Moshe and Aaron didn't want this at all. They're not interested in fighting with Korach and his Eidah. In fact, Moshe sends for Dashan and Aviram, Perkta Zion, and he says, let's negotiate. Please come. Let's talk this out. Now, they didn't want to talk it out. Lo na'ale. Im ene anashima ele tenakir. Lo na'ale. Even if you gouge out our eyes, we're not coming to negotiate with you. There were no two sides. But Lamaisa, Moshe and Aaron don't want any part in this. And I have this Elitzaf and Ben Uziel. He's totally absent from the whole story. So there's really only one side. Machlokas l'shem shemayim, a person's destroying who? It's almost like they're fighting with their own selves. Ultimately, they're destroying their own selves. Moshe and Aaron, maybe their legitimacy was diminished in the eyes of the people, which is not good, but they weren't destroyed. Moshe is Rabbeinu still today. Aaron is the first Kohen Gadol. The lessons they taught us endured. Korach was destroyed. Korach went down to the Shul. There's only one side. Korach was fighting, almost you could say, with his very own self. Tosos Yom Tov, Rabbeinu Yonah, we already said it's a schuss for Richus Yamim Vishanim, whereas if it's She'en Lashem Shemaim, so then Hashem says, after the first Mechlokas, you're going to be finished. So Korach was mamash finished, like literally, the ground opened up and swallowed him. And Bartanura tells us as follows, Kol Mechlokas She'en Lashem Shemaim, so follow his Kayim. What is the difference in a Mechlokas Lashem Shemaim and a Mechlokas She'en Lashem Shemaim? I'm just finishing this and you don't have to hear me stop anymore. What's the difference? Kol machlokas shi l'shem shemayim sofa l'iskeim. Klomar. Sha'anshe machlokas ha'hi miskayamim ve'enam ovdim. So that's very similar to what we have just seen from Rabbeinu Yonah, yeah? That the people of this machlokas, miskayamim, they'll be upheld, ve'enam ovdim, and they won't be lost, beis Hillel and beis Shammai, even after Hillel and Shammai died. Even after Hillel and Shammai died, and even after their Talmidim, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai died, they're very much still alive. Masechas Rosh Hashanah, Yud Ches, Amar Beis, Tzadikim Af B'Misosim Nikraim Chayim. The Tzadik, even his death, is called alive. You don't learn, you learn the Gemara, you don't say, one second please, I need her to be very quiet. Please. Thank you. Sorry, I lost my train of thoughts for a minute. The people of the Anshe Machlokas Ahim is Kaim Ve'inam Ovdim. These people, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, are no longer alive. Hillel and Shammai are no longer alive, but their Machlokas is very much alive. Ve'inam Ovdim. They will never be lost. And that's why we're still debating. Now, even though we don't paskin like Beis Shammai, except for 18 cases, we paskin like Beis Hillel. Nevertheless, we still learn Beis Shammai's position. There's something valuable to learn from both sides when it's the Shem Shammai. Even if ultimately you do not paskin that way, there's something valuable to learn from Beis Shammai's position. There's something valuable to learn from Beis Hillel's position. Let's learn through both positions because they're both L'shem Shemaim. And then we will come to see what is the way we paskin. But they will be not lost. K'machlokas Hillel v'Shammai. Shelo avdu. The Ratanura says an example. This is a machlokas of Hillel and Shammai. Shelo avdu. They weren't lost. Lo tamida Beis Shammai. Lo tamida Beis Hillel. Like I already said. They themselves were not lost. And their tamidim were not lost. And still today, you could open up the folio of Gemara and learn what they argued about. So certainly they were not lost. Aval Korach ve'adaso avdu. But when it came to Korach and his assembly, what happened to them? Vativtach ha'aretz espia vativla osem ve'espateim ve'eskol v'chusham. They went down taka chayim sha'ola. They went down alive. Korach and his Eidah was lost. There's nothing valuable to learn from a mechulkah she'en l'shem shemayim except for one thing. Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Hey. What does the pasuk say? V'lo yek korach v'cha adaso asher diber Hashem b'yad Moshe. You should not be like Korach and his Eda. And the Gemara learns out from here. This is a mitzvah lo tase. What's a mitzvah lo tase? Not to be machzik b'machlokas. Right? The pasuk says in Perek Zayin pasuk A, after Korach is swallowed up, and after the 250 men who joined him died in the fire, and God has proven that Korach is machlokas shelo l'shem shemayim, and Aaron and Moshe are only l'shem shemayim. So the pasuk says, "V'lo yek korach v'kadaso." You may not be, you shall not be that korach and his eda. Aval korach v'adaso avdu. So the Gemara says, "What does it mean? You should not be that korach and his eda." It's a lo tase. Lo telech v'chil b'mechaz a lo tase. Lo saviru eish b'chamash v'sechem b'yom Shabbos is a lo tase. Shomer yom Shabbos l'kadsho involves a lo tase. Mas is a lo tase. I don't know. There's a lot of lo tase. Lo tinaf is a lo tase. The Gemara says, you know what? You shall not be that Korach in his assembly. This is also lo tase. Mamish on mitzvah. Love. Do not be like Korach and Azeda. What does it mean? Not to be machzik b'machlokas. Think about this the next time. Rachman al-Tzlan, the opening is just like a mem, and you have a choice. You could stop it. It's teeny opening like the mem. It could either be stopped and closed up, or it could become like the ches, wider, wider, wider.
I remember this.
You remember what?
This Bar Torah.
What, about the mem, the letters?
Yeah, and the opening gets
bigger. Did you teach it to me?
No, I sat in shir.
Oh, you heard me say it earlier in the week. Oh, very nice. Aval Korach v'adaso avdu, but Korach and his assembly were lost. V'ani shamati, and the Bartanura says, Peirush, what does it mean? Sofa, the end of the machokas, tachlisa, the tachlis, when it's she'enu l'shem shemaim, is the end. The tachlis, the whole purpose of the machokas, is the end. With Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the purpose is to learn both of their positions, not only to get to the end point, but to explain why Beis Hillel says like he does, and why Beis Shammai says like he does. Why Beis Hillel holds like this? Why does Beis Shammai say kala kamoshehi? What do you want to insult the kala? You want to say if she's suma or havehi chuga suma? Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, if she's lame or blind, you're going to say kala kamoshehi. So why does Beis Shammai say it like that? Because Beis Shammai says, the Torah says, midvar sheker tirchak. It's not only in the machlokas l'shem shemaim about the end point. It's the path to get to the end point. The learning is important when it comes to l'shem shemaim. It's not only the final end point. It's not the destination. It's the means to the destination that's also important. What do we learn from both sides? What do we learn from their approaches? What do we learn from the path they take to get there? Korach wants to get to the end point. What's Korach, the sof, the end is the tachlis. I want to be melech. I want to be Kohen Gadol. That's why he shows up in an entirely big cloak of tchei. That's what he's saying. I want to be the Kohen Gadol, not Aaron who wears the me'il, me. Now, the sofa, the end point, is the tachlis. All he cares about is the end point. That is what you seek out from this inyan. How can I, Korach, grab power for myself? Forget the path that I take to get there. But it's a shame, Shemaim, the path you take to get there is very important. The path you take to get there is important. You have to understand Beis Shammai's position. Beis Shammai doesn't want to insult the Kala, but the Torah says, in Parshas Shpatim, Perachof, Dibbon, Midvar Shakar Tirchak. So what do I do with that? The Torah says, stay away from falsehood. So Beis Shammai says, so maybe Taka, you should tell the Kala, you know, you're blind, you're lame. It's not Michlar, it's go open up the Gemara and Ksubas Yud Zayin. Beis Shammai is not insensitive. Beis Shammai is saying, the Torah says, Midvar Shachar Tirchak. So how do I understand that? Beis Hillel says, human feelings are a little bit more important, not more important, Chas V'Shalom. We have to pask in the Torah with regard for human feelings, and therefore you should always say, Kala Nava Chasuda. But it's not just the sofa that is the tachlis. It's the whole process. Because the whole process is Torah Min HaShamayim, and that's part of the tachlis as well. V'amechokas Shehi L'Shem Shamayim, and when it comes to mechokas that is for the sake of heaven, HaTachlis V'HaSof HaMevukash Me'osu Mechokas L'Hasig HaMes, when it comes to mechokas that is L'Shem Shamayim, like Beis Hillel and like Beis Shammai, so then the purpose, the tachlis, and the sof, and the end that you are desiring from that mechokas, they're both to grab the truth. This will always be upheld. From the point of contention itself, truth will be revealed. But that's only when it's a shame shemaim. So when it comes to mechokas of Hillel Beis Shammai, when it comes to kala na v'chasuda, when it comes to chasneres v'alacha k'beis Hillel, when it comes to, what other example did I give you? Can you convert someone on one foot or not? So generally, 300 times, most, the vast majority, we go after Beis Hillel. We do. Halacha ka Beis Hillel. But it doesn't mean that Beis Shammai's position is not important. Beis Shammai's position is very important. You have to learn through it and understand it. When it comes to Mechokas, Rachman al-Tzal, which is so much of what plagues families today, communities, and between different communities of Jews. Tachas hanirzer bohi bakashos hasirara va'ahavas hanitzuach. I'm going to use this piece by the Bartanur as a point of departure to go into a very powerful, powerful essay by Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichron Levracha. When it comes to mechokas that is not l'shem shemaim, what is the tachas? When it comes to mechokas that is l'shem shemaim, the tachas is not only the sof, the process as well is very important. You need to learn through Beis Shammai, you need to learn through Beis Hillel, understand each point, and then say, this is how we paskin halacha l'maisa. But the whole, every aspect of the machokas is important, because Beis Shammai is as important as Beis Hillel. And what they say is as important as what they say. Oh, Taka, we paskin a different way, fine, but both sides have tremendous relevance. There's something to learn from both sides of Shem Shammai. because the sof is important and the tachas is important. But when it comes to mechokas she'ena l'shem shamayim, tachas ha'nirtza b'hi b'kashos ha'sarara v'ahavas ha'nitzuach. What's Sarara? Sarah. Why was she called Sarah? Because she was a princess. When it's a mechokas she'ena l'shem shamayim, all the side is seeking out is Sarara, leadership, rulership, like Sarah v'shofet. They want to be ruler. Ahavas hanitzuach, they want to win. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, or Hillel and Shammai, didn't want to win to be Hillel. They wanted to win because he believed, not it's even the wrong word, he believed that this is how the halacha paskins, and he believes that that's the emes lamito. Korach wanted to win. Bakashos hasarara, he wants to be the sar v'shofei, he wants to be the prince, he wants to be the ruler. Ahavas hanitzuach, I won. V'zeh hasof eina miskayim. And when this is the goal of Mechlokas, it will never be upheld. Like we found by the Mechlokas of Korach and his Eda, the Tachus, the purpose of the Mechlokas, the Sof, the end goal, there was one intention, Kavod, the Hasarara, rulership, the Hayula Hafach. The opposite was actually achieved. Kavod and Sarara, not only did Korach not achieve them, he lost any kavod he would have had and any rulership he would have had. He was B'nai Kahas. They had a very important shop. Ba'kesef Yisau. Ba'kesef Yisau. They carried the Aron Kodesh on their shoulders. The Aron Kodesh really called us to carry them. He would have had kavod. He would have had some position of prominence. Everything was lost. So we learned the Mishnah, we learned through the Tosfos Yom Tov that pointed out Hillel and Shammai are two sides. When it's She'ena L'Shem Shamayim, there's only one side. Rabbi Yonah points out that a mechokas shleim shamayim is as chos for arichos yamim v'shanim. Today you'll argue about this. Tomorrow you'll argue about that. It will never die. It will continue after you die. It will continue in your students and your household after you. But today we said it is almost impossible. I mean, are not the gedolei hador to have such a pure, motivated machlokas. She'ena l'shem shamayim, God won't give you arichos yamim v'shanim to keep arguing. It's going to be ended the first one that Korach went down. And then we learned the bar tenura. And machlokas l'shem shamayim, there's something valuable to learn from the tachlis, the purpose, and the sof, the end. What is the purpose? L'hasig ha'emes. What's the truth? What is the truth of Torah? One of the names, the seal of achos mashal kosh baruch hu emes, Shabbos nun hei, that the seal of God is emes. Aleph Mem Tav, first, middle, and last letter of the Alpis. God's seal is truth. So when it comes to Mechokas Shil Shem Shemayim, what people want is to know what's the truth. Both Gedolim want to know what's the truth. They interpret truth this way, they interpret truth that way. When it comes to Mechokas She'en L'Shem Shemayim, all that's wanted is Bakashos HaSarara, the Ahavas HaNitzuach. It is a desire for power. I want to be the prince. How could Elitzofim Ben Uziel, my youngest cousin from my youngest uncle, be Nasi over Kahas? I want to be Nasi. Ahavas HaNitzuach. I won. Okay? So that's the mission with the Tosfos Yom Tov, Rabbeinu Yonah, Bar Tanura, and many Musar Hasgol and interpretations that help us understand what this means. Okay? I want to now go to Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. Okay? I'm quoting from the Sefer Essays on Ethics. Okay? Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks is a tremendous piece on Korach and his Eda. Yonatan Horowitz, what's going on?
I don't know.
All of a sudden, she became upset. We're dog sitting.
Coco, stay.
Okay. All of a sudden, she. Okay. Let's go to Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. Okay. He points out something very, very important. I'm not going to quote the whole essay. We do not have time. I'm not doing an error share like I did last week. I apologize. The Sefer Essays on Ethics. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says, what was the difference that motivated Korach that is different from Mechokas L'Shem Shamayim? And we already saw it touched upon by the Bar Tanura, but Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks' words and in phraseology and terminology that's so powerful, poetic, stirringly beautiful. The rabbis did not conclude, says Rabbi Sacks, from the Korach rebellion that argument is wrong. They did not conclude argument is wrong. Leaders are entitled. They did not conclude that leaders are entitled to unquestioning obedience. They did not conclude that. They did not conclude that the supreme value in Judaism is submission. They did not conclude that. The rabbis did not conclude from the Mechokas of Korach that argument is wrong. They did not conclude that leaders are entitled to unquestioning obedience. They did not. Leaders have to be accountable to the people. If the leader seems to be doing something suspicious, there was an interesting panel on the Shavuos program this year. Rabbi Yaakov Horowitz sat on there, and I forget which other, which of the rabbanim from YU. It was called When Leaders Fail. Okay? Unfortunately, it happens. So the rabbis did not conclude that, Rachman son, that leaders are entitled to unquestioning obedience. They did not conclude that the supreme value in Judaism is submission. To the contrary, quote, argument is the lifeblood of Judaism, so long as it is rightly motivated and essentially constructive in its aims. Judaism is a unique religion, a civilization whose canonical texts, the Tanakh, are anthologies of argument. In Tanakh, the heroes of our faith, Avram, Moshe, Yirmiyahu, Iyov, they argue with God. Medrash is founded on the premise that there are 70 faces, 70 different legitimate interpretations of Torah, which may contradict each other. What does it mean if they contradict each other? They're essentially, this Medrash is arguing with that Medrash. The Mishnah itself is largely constructed on the model of Rabbi X says this, but Rabbi Y says that. And then along comes the Gemara and says Rabbi Sachs the Talmud. Far from resolving the arguments of the Mishnah, usually deepens the arguments considerably. So machlokas in and of itself is not good or bad. Argument in Judaism is a holy activity. When two people are learning and they're arguing, it's called the mechamta shel Torah. They're engaged in a war. The ongoing internal dialogue of the Jewish people as it reflects its destiny and demand of its faith. Argument, machlokas is not wrong. What made the argument of Korach and his co-conspirators so different from that of Hillel and Shabbai? Excuse me. Rabbeinu Yonah offers a simple explanation, but we saw it on the Bar Tanura. He says, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Maisa, the words of Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sachs are very powerful. An argument for the sake of heaven is one about truth. An argument not for the sake of heaven is about power. The difference is immense. Well, listen to how Rabbi Sachs words it. If I argue for the sake of truth, then if I win, I win. But if I lose, I also win. Because being defeated by truth is the only defeat that's also a victory. I am enlarged. I learned something I did not know before. I am enlightened. In an argument for truth, if I win, I win. And if I lose, I also win because the truth has been revealed. And now I'm enriched, enlightened, enlarged, and inspired, more educated than I was before. And the Torah is Lahagdol Torah Lahadira. Could there be a better win? So on a Mechokas L'Shem Shamayim, both sides win. Doesn't matter how you, I mean, it does matter. It matters how you paskin, of course. I would not recommend putting 8 lights on your Chanukiah on the first night and 1 on the last night, but Beis Shammai also won. It's not about winning, it's about MS. In a contest for power, if I lose, I lose. But if I win, I also lose. Because in diminishing my opponents, I have diminished myself. Moshe could not have had a more decisive vindication than the miracle of the ground opening up and swallowing his opponents. But this did not end the argument. It diminished the respect in which Moshe was held. He quotes from Perek Yitzayim. The next day, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moshe and Aaron. You have killed the people of God, they said. That Moshe needed to resort to force in itself was a sign that he had been dragged down into the argument. This is what happens when power, not truth, is at stake. Nothing is achieved by sacrificing truth to the pursuit of power. That is the way of Korach throughout the ages, to sacrifice truth for the pursuit of power. And it's such a beautiful statement of Rabbi Sachs. Again, if I argue for the sake of truth, then if I win, I win. But if I lose, I also win. I'm repeating it, it's beautiful. Because being defeated by the truth is the only defeat that's also a victory. I am enlarged, I'm adding on a little to his words, I'm inspired. I am elevated. I am educated. I learned something I didn't know before. In a contest for power, if I lose, I lose. But if I win, I also lose. Because in diminishing my opponents, in a sense, I've had to diminish myself. And two people, you know, it's nice to talk about Hillel and Shammai and Korach. But we have to think how to bring this down to our lives. I was just informed this week of a machokas between two parties. I, Baruch Hashem, I'm not involved. They have nothing to do with it. It happens. Things come up. Sometimes the opening is so teeny, it's just like the mem. And if you stop it, it can be stopped right then and there. But if you don't stop it, I'm not talking about Korach anymore, and I'm not talking about Hillel and Shammai, I'm talking about us, I'm talking about our families. I'm talking about our communities. I'm talking about between communities. All of a sudden it becomes like the Ches, it's so wide, and then the Lamed, it's so high, and the Kuf, it's so far down, and the Tav, it's standing on its own 2 feet, and no one even knows why it started in the first place. Ani mechokas, it's mamish l'shem shemayim, it's his chus for richus yamim v'shanim. It's unbelievable. Hashem will give you more days, so today you could argue about that, and tomorrow you could argue about that. And in 1,000 millennia, they'll still be arguing about what Hillel and Shammai said. But if it's shalom l'shem shemayim, it takes everything down with it. Kina starts with a kuf. The middle letter of machlokas is kuf. And Korach's name begins with a kuf. Because the only outcome in the quest for power is that ultimately everyone and everything will be dragged down by the machlokas. But in the quest for truth, everyone is a winner. And Baruch Hashem, b'zocha to come to know Miriam Goodman. Most people that I know through my kashrus shiurim and teachings. She is truly a person who is interested in the truth. Emes l'amito. She loves to learn. She is dedicated to learning. She's so committed to this Pirkei Avos group. And she always wants the truth. What is the truth? And what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me? That's the truth. And that's how we have to guide our whole lives and our interactions with the Ribbono Shel Olam and interactions with others. Because when it's a machokas l'shem shamayim, when you seek the truth, it will always endure. No wonder Korach had to go down saying, Moshe Emes, Misoraso Emes. He finally admitted defeat. I was only in this for Sirara and Nitzacho. I wanted rulership. I wanted to win. I didn't care about the truth. When I got my punishment, the kuf that took everything literally down to the Sha'ol, I finally learned that what's important in life is uncovering the seal of the Ribbono Shel Olam through the holy Lashon HaKodesh letters Alf Mem Tav. The seal of God is truth. Mamsha Emes, Visoraso Emes. And this is really who Miriam Goodman is. She wants to seek the truth, find the truth, and live by the truth of Torah. So we thank her dear friend Mary Orbach so very much for sponsoring tonight's shiur and ensuring that we could learn this evening Tiski the Mitzvos Amaisim Tovim. We wish Miriam a very, very happy birthday along with her family, Mary Orbach. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Please remember that if you are interested in sponsoring a shiur, reach out to us so the learning can continue. I wish everybody a wonderful Chodesh Be'ezrat Hashem and a good Shabbos. And Meretz Hashem, we will continue next week. Thank you so much. Kol Tov to all. Thank you, everybody.